Mute is mute. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Sorry about that. It's louder up here than it is out there, I guess. We've been in John 15, 1 through 6. And I think it was a good thing to kind of hover over these verses because they're so misused. And a lot of people, you know, if we're not aware of what's happening in those verses, it's easy to hear something that is not in accordance with the word and simply pick it up and continue with your daily routine. Well, if you do that with these verses, you're liable to be fearful of losing something that you can't lose. And so we don't want to be able to live the spiritual life in fear. We want to be able to live it in a way that is not only pleasing to God, but in a way that is a right way that is according to His Word. And so that is, I think, in confidence. We can live in confidence knowing that that eternity is secured from your faith in Jesus Christ, that you made that decision at one point in your life. And that's the beauty of the spiritual life, really, is you're allowed to move forward understanding that you are secured in Christ. And not only that, but realizing the benefits that come with that position in Christ is part of the fun, right? This is why we're here. We get to know God at the same time, and we get to live in a way that is different from the world. And I think that with that brings the happiness that God allows us to see and have through His Word, right? Through His thinking. And it's really His happiness that He's loaning us. It's Him in you that we're experiencing. So let's go ahead and let me just read where you've been. And I'll start from verse 1 just to kind of get us refreshed here. This is John 15, 1. It says, I am the true vine. Remember, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You know, this is pretty self-explanatory. And this is the first two kinds of vines that we have. Remember, these are being correlated to believers, two kinds of believers, two kinds of vines. Jesus is making some comparisons here. He's the vine. The believers are the branches is the idea here. And you can see the first kind of branch, the ones that do not bear fruit, He lifts up. Those were, we described as the, I think everybody goes through this stage as a new believer, not producing fruit or being productive in the spiritual life, as least as we could if we were growing. But we do eventually get to that point, right? Because God gives us the grace. He lifts us up. He shows us. He guides us down the path to be able to produce divine works in His plan. So this is a good picture of the grace of God, right? It doesn't take a genius to know that God has patience with us. You know, it takes us a while to get from point A to B, along with all the knots on our heads by the time we get there. So the fact that He does lift us up means that He's not only faithful to us and remains faithful, even when we're unfaithful, He has enough grace and mercy and patience all along the way that I think encourages us to be able to get to the point of being productive as a believer in His plan. So, you know, it's really a win-win. When you stumble, God's always there to lift you up. Number two, the second branch is the branch that bears fruit. It says He prunes it so it may bear more fruit. Remember, this was the productive believer, the believer that is growing in the faith, getting to know God through the spiritual life. The consistency is there in their life, that daily study, that daily application, that daily part of this that we need. You're going to produce. There's not any much direction you can do, at least if you're learning the truth, right? If you're learning how to produce, you will produce. And that's what this is. God prunes us so that we'll produce more. And that pruning has to do with the cleansing you from unrighteousness. Remember that word had meant cleanse. And that was the word that took me back to 1 John 1:9. And so confession is definitely a part of your walk. Sin is a daily struggle. And so confession is something that you have that God gives us that we can kind of have a fresh start, right? And we need fresh starts throughout the day. I know if you're a human being, and I think most of you are, we do sin. And, you know, there's things that throw us off of our game when we're not expecting it. You know, we could be walking the Christian walk consistently, and all of a sudden now you're in a place you weren't 5 seconds ago. So this cleansing that God offers us, take advantage of it. You know, it's an amazing thing. So, and then here we are to verse 3. It says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, this is Jesus telling his disciples basically that they are believers. They're secured in him. This is something that has happened. Notice this is already. This is not referring to the daily walk, the daily confession. It says you're already clean. This is a salvation. This is a believer that has been positionally sanctified, saved in Jesus Christ, and in that way is already clean, right? Remember, part of salvation means that God takes you and sets you apart from the world. The Holy Spirit's in charge of that, right? At that point, you're indwelled by the Spirit, you're sealed by the Spirit, and you are clean in that aspect of your position in Christ. Of course, we know that we can sin after that point, but that doesn't take away the fact that you are sealed. I love that word, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, because the meaning of it means something that can't be taken off in any way. So it is a good thing. So that's what this is telling us. And this is a good verse to reiterate who we're talking to. Who we're talking to. I'm talking to you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. But this, we know this is his word, and we can apply his words to our lives. But we have to think about that every time we open the Bible. Who is the audience, right? Because that comes into effect. Is he talking to people that are not necessarily steady or consistent in the spiritual life? Is he talking to unbelievers? Is he talking to believers? Is he talking to his disciples that are following him very closely? And that's exactly who he's talking to. So he continues. And verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. This is the occurrence of the word abide in the conversation. And if you remember, this is the word that means fellowship. Fellowship with God. Abiding means to remain or to stay. Has nothing absolutely to do with salvation. The word abide itself is not indicating that. What Jesus is referring to and actually commanding his disciples to do that are already saved, he's saying, abide in me. And the reason, of course, we talked about the command is because we need to receive a command because we have to know our responsibility as Christians of what to do when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Sin is what allows us to be separate from God or from Jesus Christ, and fellowship is what brings us back to him. So he's basically commanding them to continue in fellowship, remain in that fellowship as long as possible, because as we'll see in these verses, this verse right here, we cannot bear fruit, in other words, be productive in the spiritual life, unless we abide in Jesus Christ. So that's fellowship. Huge, right? Because when you're not abiding, guess what? You're not producing. You're not effective. You're not a Christian example that we should be in the places that we go in the darkness of the world. So anyways, verse 5, he continues, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. We just read that one, didn't we? Isn't that interesting? Y'all should have caught that. I have verse 4. Oh, no, it's different. Sorry. Okay, I'm the vine. I'm messing up. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you are not able to produce anything. What is this telling us? Well, it's basically restating the obvious. Apart from him, we cannot produce. Cannot produce. And I'll say anything meaningful or that is desirable of God for us to do. Nothing. It says we cannot produce anything or not able. Remember that word able meant the ability to do something, the power to do something. If we don't have his power through the Holy Spirit, guess what? We're useless. We're useless. And that's what he's really referring to with these branches. There's some that are active. There's some that are very useful. And there's some that are useless branches, right? And the next verse actually talks about the useless branches. And by the way, we have a lot of useless believers. I'm sure you've met some of them, and I have too. But three different kinds of branches and three different kinds of believers. Some that are need help in growth. Some that are growing and producing. And then here's the last category. Some that are believers but not producing and not interested in necessarily producing. So you can see there's maybe a veering going on. And then there's just the last one is just a complete turn from the word, from their faith, from the scripture. And, you know, we've all encountered those too. So, and I would say don't give up, right? They need encouragement as well. But one thing we have to realize is that God does have a stopping point. He is patient. He is merciful. But his justice sometimes steps in at a certain point and says, that's enough. That's enough. Right? We can only go so long on a different plan, on a different path, our own. I mean, we can only go so long on that path before God either puts a halt to our plans or puts a halt to our physical lives. And as you well know, this is a very specific purpose that we have here to take advantage of. Time's a ticking, right? Time's a ticking. So you have to consider the things that you do on a daily basis. Is it something that was useful, productive, or is it not? Well, I like to think that we're all at least making an effort to move in that direction, to do something productive each and every day. Right, is at least something that comes to our mind. How can I do something as unto the Lord? How can I glorify him? Right? And if you think in that manner, each and every day has huge amounts of purpose and meaning in it. It's not just another day. There's a spiritual component of the day that we've got to take into consideration. Because if we don't take these things into consideration, we lose sight of the fact that you're in something that is much bigger than yourself. It's not just the physical realm that we're talking about. This is the spiritual realm that you are here to make an impact in. And God is using you to do that. So that's a big deal. So, anyways, that's what we're here for. But again, if the shirking that responsibility is what this last branch is doing in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So there's the last kind of branch that I actually mentioned before this point. Non-productive, useless as far as God is concerned, right? As far as following the word, faithful to the word, no consistency in the spiritual life. And so, remember, we have to remember a few things before we begin talking about this. And these are what you've heard already. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. We know that. We've established that. These individuals are saved. So we have to keep that in mind. The next point is that I told you last week is saved people are never threatened or warned about going to hell in the Bible. Why? Because they're saved. Right? God threatens us. I wouldn't call it a threat because it's a real thing. He warns us with divine discipline. That's what the believer is warned with as far as his spiritual life and not abiding in him refers to. And when we don't adhere to the justice of God, he takes action on our lack of obedience. That's all there is to it. Just like, you know, you tell your child or your pet not to do something, you warn them, you warn them, you warn them. Some of you keep warning them and warning them and warning them. But you warn them up to a certain point is what I'm getting at. God has that certain point, right? When he acts, the justice of God has to step in because there is a point where we need correction. We have to get correction. And if there is no longer a way to correct, that's the point that we don't know, right? I'm speaking spiritually to you from a believer that has veered off course. There comes a point in time when there is no correction that can be made as far as coming back. And we don't know that, so we can't make judgment calls, but God does know that. God does know that. This time on the earth is that critical to where if we do get to that point as a believer, to where we won't come back to producing fruit, God will cut our time short. And it makes sense if you think about it, right? He understands that his children are a lot better off with him in heaven than they are causing destruction and hurting themselves and hurting other people and not producing fruit and glorifying him on this earth. All negative things. Why not go to heaven where you can at least enjoy some of the time that you are eternity with him instead of experiencing hell on earth, basically, because of discipline daily and being unhappy and bitter and all the things that go with that. So, anyways, that's point number two. Number three is Jesus using metaphors to teach his disciples. And you know, I told you that rule seems to go out the window when you get to fire, right? God the Father is not a literal vine dresser. Jesus is not a literal vine. You are not a literal branch. And fire is not literal fire. But if for some reason, when it gets to fire, the metaphor thing goes out the window. People lose their marbles when they see fire and burned. All of a sudden, every rule who Jesus is talking to goes right out the window. I have no idea why, but it does. And so we need to be aware that we need to stick to the normalcy of the passage here and not just start backpedaling immediately or start bouncing like a rabbit as soon as we see the word fire, right? So, and then here we go with the word, the last one, the fourth one is the word abide is not referring to salvation. Remember, the word abide in the context is very clearly talking about something that you, as a believer, can either be in or be out of with Jesus Christ. Does that mean you lost your salvation? No. It means you're either in fellowship with him or out. Now, what we have in this last example is of a believer that is out and stays out, right? And that's not a good place to be. So, and this is actually where we currently are in the study. And we've seen what this means. And remember that Jesus is commanding his disciples to abide because they need that command, and so do we, because there's times where we don't do that. So, and obviously in the context of the verses, the command to abide makes sense. It does, right? It makes sense. Because what are we talking about? Fruit production in the believer's life. You being productive. Well, the only way you can do that is in fellowship, in that closeness of thinking and being filled with the Holy Spirit, thinking with the mind of Christ, and living a life that is meaningful. The only way you're going to have a meaningful life that has purpose is to do it by abiding in Christ. Nothing to do with salvation. Don't get confused by the word abide and change the meaning all of a sudden. So one of the things that I thought was interesting about this word abide is it offers us a lot of things. Right, we can see it in these passages here. Is it offers us things that are not related to specifically to salvation, but I think they're a result of salvation. And some of those things are listed in the scripture. One of them, I don't know if you notice, is answered prayers. Abiding in Christ brings with it answered prayers in our personal life. And Jesus mentions that. He calls that out. And this is one of the effects of fellowship, is it brings answered prayers to you. And that makes sense, because when you're in tune with God's plan and will for your life, guess what? You can pray in accordance with that will. So you actually have a better understanding of what to pray for, how to pray, and who to pray for if you better understand or if you better are more connected with His mind, with His Word. They go together, right? The two make sense. The next one fellowship gives us is the ability to glorify God. To glorify God. Shouldn't be surprised at that one. And by the way, this is one of the main purposes of the believer. I didn't say necessarily the main. God has a lot of big main purposes. But for us in our life here, this is one of the top for the believer in Jesus Christ, is to glorify God, to glorify God. And you can't do that out of fellowship. You can't do that. Because remember, there is a dependence here that Jesus is kind of talking to these believers. He's saying, you got to depend on me in order to do these things. You have to lean on me. You have to depend on me in order to be able or capable of doing these things. And so, because when you don't, guess what we become? Independent of Him. We begin to think on our own. We take our own course in life. We do the things that are independent of His thought, which is, I would say, the opposite of fellowship. So we don't want to be independent of Him. We want to be dependent on Him, right? The next one we saw about fellowship was, this is something that proves you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's what proves your position, right? You're a Christian, but is that necessarily proved by the lifestyle you lived or you live now? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not, right? There's going to be a lot of people in heaven that didn't necessarily live as a Christian necessarily should have. And don't get me wrong, this is something that varies between believer to believer. None of you are equal here. Some of you are proving to be a follower of Christ. Some of you are halfway proving, and some of you aren't even doing it at all. Why? How do I know that? Because you have your own decisions to make. Each one of you are different as far as responding to that call that God has on your life. Some of you are very active in it. Some of you are not. Some of you are in between. And that's normal for the human race, right? We are people, and we can't do anything exactly the same when it comes to life. We can try. You can try to mimic someone that you know, but you're not going to do it, because this is a spiritual thing. This is a thought process that happens. So, and we didn't speak a whole lot about this word prove here, but it means to come into being. It means, so there is a process. Right, you go from a baby believer to a growing believer to a believer who can glorify God. So there is a process that goes along with to come into being, is to come into the reality of what you expressed faith in way back here. And all that is just starting to align your life up with the Word of God. That's it. Aligning your life up with what God's wishes are through His Word. And so, definitely a big deal. And fellowship is how we can do that. Fellowship is how. It's not a secret. Jesus is speaking it here, and we're told this is how you can do it. You want to prove that you're a follower of me? Abide in me. Abide in Christ. Right? That's the deal. So, otherwise, the opposite of that is what? We can't do anything outside of fellowship with Him. The other thing that is mentioned in these set of verses is we experience the love of God. The love of God. You know, the love of God is something that is one-sided until you can know and learn enough about it to be two-sided from your end to Him. Love from God is always towards you. But love is a process that takes time to be able to grow in that relationship. And so fellowship is a very good indicator, if we can stay in it, of how much you love or if you love Jesus Christ. This is something that is a very good indicator, and it's also something that we can experience the love of God, which, by the way, is different from human love. It's different. It has a lot of things in it that our love does not have. And one of those is grace. Grace. It doesn't, react to a wrong suffered in a way that a human love might react. Grace is completely different. It's foreign to the world thinking. It's foreign. And the reason it's foreign is because grace is given to you, and it's not based on you, and it's not based on what you do. It's based on God. And when you can begin to think like that towards other people, it's not based on their merit. It's not based on whether they're a good guy or a bad guy. It's based on what God is doing in your life and in your soul. See, when you apply that to the love that you have towards anybody, spouses, friends, coworkers, family, anybody, the love will change a relationship and it will allow it to last, because grace shows a lot of different things like mercy, faithfulness, patience to people. When other people would lose their patience, the love of God has endless patience. So how can we do that? Well, we can't on our own. We can only do it when we're in fellowship and abiding in Jesus Christ. That's it. God didn't give you that capability. He has the capability, and He gave you the capability from Him. He didn't give it to us from birth. We can't do the things in His power just based on our own human nature. We've got to do it through Him. It has to come through Him. And of course, the last one is obvious, right? To produce the divine good or the fruit in the Christian's life. So fellowship has a lot of things going on here. There is a lot happening when you abide. That's what the verse is talking about. And can you imagine putting a big X through all these when you're not abiding? Because we are Christians, we can sin and get out of fellowship with God. So the reality is we will have moments where we are not abiding, but we will also be able to get back into fellowship with God, hopefully the sooner than later. And we don't want to be like this last branch here that is just out, not abiding, not in fellowship, right? So again, you know, you step back, you look at this list, and you say, well, none of this is specifically speaking to salvation. But what we can say is that all of this is a result of taking advantage of the benefits of your salvation. That we can say. These are benefits that we learn, and we learn to love because look at them. They're awesome. They're amazing. They're things that you can do that you couldn't do otherwise. You know how many relationships have been severed because there is not a divine love involved in that relationship? A lot. You know, we've all been there, right? We only can do so much within our own human capabilities. And when you're not growing in the Word, you cannot take advantage of God's love in your relationship to uphold it. And all of a sudden, now that weight's on your shoulders. You can't do that. The relationship's going to fail every single time because that love, the divine love, is not there in the relationship. So is it hard? Yes, it's hard if you're trying to do it on your own. It's impossible, actually. People weren't made to have a relationship without Jesus Christ in their life. It's not made to last. It's not made to persevere. It's not made to be patient when you shouldn't be patient. So why not enjoy the fullest extent of your salvation and take advantage of what you're provided from Jesus Christ, which is fellowship with Him. Fellowship. Fellowship is what makes God's plan move forward through people like yourselves. So another verse I wanted to show you that has this word abide in it is 1 John 2:28. Now that you're, you know, locked into the meaning of this word, it says, "Now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming." Whoa. This is talking about abiding, fellowship. And it's talking to believers, right? Talking to believers, little children. Abide in Him. Why do they need to abide? so they can have confidence when he comes back. When he comes back. You know, I always think of the, when the cat's away, the mice will play. It's like, how are you living while Jesus Christ is gone? How are we living? Do we completely forget that he's coming back? Oh, he's away. We can just live life however we want to live it. No, 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 no. This verse is saying either you have confidence at his return to come and get you at the rapture, or if we experience that, right? Or when he gets here, you're like, uh-oh, the cat's back, and I hadn't been doing anything. What does it say? Shame at his coming. And this is speaking to believers right here. Believers that wasted their time as far as their responsibility as a Christian. They are not going to be too excited about Jesus Christ coming back for them, because why? They know fully well that they shirked their responsibility to live the Christian life. Does that mean that God's going to say, oh, sorry, I'm going to revoke your salvation card? No. But what it does mean is they're going to realize, I didn't do that. There was things I could have took advantage of that I didn't. And I think we're all going to have some of that, obviously, in our life. But I think the majority must be, at least a portion of your life must be enough concentrated of your fellowship and your growth in Christ so that you become confident in Christ returning. You know, we should be excited about that. I realize you're here, you're alive. God wants you to do more. That's why you're here. He wants you to do more. And what you're doing every day is you're what? You're building the confidence. You're building more confidence because, you know, yesterday was a good day. Day before was a good day. Wednesday, Thursday, not so much, right? So there'll be times when you go in and out. But overall, what are you doing? You're growing. And that's the confidence that we all need and want to have, is just, you know, they always used to say, Mike always used to say, just show up, right? Just show up. And, you know, that has, you could really take that on a different level, but I understood what he meant, right? We as believers just have to try, make an effort. And literally for us, that means to just make right decisions, right? Show up. Just show up. Study and teach. That's me showing up at least twice, right? One time is at my computer to study, and the next time is here. But can I take any credit for the things that happen all in between? No. I'm just showing up every time, and God is working out the details in every single bit of this. So if you want to take responsibility and have this confidence, just show up. Show up. And don't take that whatever. I think you understand what I mean. So we've got to spend our time wisely, is what this verse is referring to. And I think that means obviously by abiding in him. So this is a good verse. Let's see. Revelation 22:12 is another good verse. And you might be wondering, well, why is this, you know, why do people experience this confidence or this shame? Well, this verse, next verse, is one of those reasons why we may be confident or not be confident. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. According to what he has done. And remember, we talked about what he has done, how these works that everybody does, and they just assume everything is acceptable by God. No, it does take a little bit of growth and to understand what is acceptable to God, to know that what you've done is worthy and will stand the test of time, right? So here's a reason to be excited and have confidence. His reward is with him when he comes to get us. His reward is with him. And what is that based on? Abiding. Were you abiding? Were you in fellowship? Were you walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit? I don't know. Hopefully so, right? Were you producing? Were you a productive Christian? That's what this is referring to. This isn't referring to about anything. It's not talking about going volunteer at the soup kitchen and just checking that box off and saying, oh, I got this one. God's got my reward. No, that's not what it's about. It has nothing to do with that. But you can take advantage of that soup kitchen if you understand the work that you're doing. If you understand that you're glorifying God by volunteering at that soup kitchen, if you understand that it's not you doing the work and taking the credit, it's Him working through you in that volunteer position that you take, you know, you can really ruin an opportunity. And because we tend to take all the glory, take all the credit, and that's not what these things are designed to do. They're designed for God, for God to put you somewhere and for you to shine your light wherever He places you. And that has to do with, definitely with doing things as according to His word, right? Rightly. So anyways, here we are to the third type of branch again. And I just want to put this up here again because this branch did not do this. He didn't abide, which means staying out of fellowship, which is sort of similar to the first branch. But this branch doesn't have any positive meanings to help it out like the first one. This one is all negative. It's being tossed. It's done, right? It's done. The first one, the vine dresser lifted up. This one, no. This one is fully aware and we've got to, and that's why I mean there's a turning point. There's a turning point. You know, even in youth, you can see there's a turning point. God is so gracious because we made so many bad decisions here. And there was a turning point in your life where we kind of woke up and we said, okay, I know I need to do this. So this is what I'm going to do. Same thing with the spiritual life. And if we don't say, I know this and this is what I'm going to do, well, then that is the turning point that we've decided, no, I don't want to do that. We've kind of sidestepped that response, right? And this is this guy right here. He sidestepped that response. So here we have a little more information. It says he was thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them or throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, again, let's not forget what we're talking about here. We've got a metaphor. And we have the believer who does not abide or have fellowship with Christ being compared to what? A normal process. This is a normal process. This is something that I do. It's something that you do, maybe. When a stick falls off and it's no longer good, you throw it in a burn pile. You let it sit there, maybe. It dries out, and then you burn it, right? This is a metaphor. This is something that is being compared to something that's real life. And remember, we can't completely equate the two, but we can understand what's happening to the branch at the vineyard. We can understand that the vine dresser is taking certain branches that are not being productive, and he's placing them in an area, and he's getting rid of them. On this earth, he's getting rid of them. So they're not any longer here. They're no longer here, right? Actually, they are still here. They're just changed their form. They're ashes. And I hope you understand that you're not going to go to hell and all of a sudden disappear and turn into ashes. That's not what this is referring to here, right? This is referring to a normal process that happens all the time. And the idea behind it is a good one to keep in mind, because I don't know if you notice it, but there is a process that's going on here too. There's a gathering and there's a drying up. And we'll talk about those things, because if we don't talk about those, we can't understand, I think, this picture right here. And then when you get to your wherever you're going, someone's going to yell at you and say, you know what? You're going to dry up and God's going to cast you into the lake of fire. That's what they're going to tell you. Well, wait a minute. That's not what I learned. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it's saying. So you've heard it. I've heard it. Everybody's heard it. And now all of a sudden you're running on fear, which is not how to live the spiritual life. It's just not how to do it, at least the negative fear. So let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll teach a little bit more on this. I don't know how much we're going to get through it because we have our communion service, Lord's Supper, at the end of the second service. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the time that we've spent in learning more and more about just how you deal with us and how important fellowship is. And I thank you for just being a part of this entire process and being able to experience fellowship, because without Jesus Christ's death on the cross, abiding in him would not even be an option. But you made it an option through the mediator between us and you, which is Jesus Christ. And you made that salvation freely available to all who believe in him. At that moment, they're eternally saved. And I thank you for that, just the grace that you give us. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.